will call 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you.
So I know he's with us in prayer, and the Lord will be with us, and what a blessing that is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad you're here, that you're tuned into this here today, because, you know, tonight we're going to cover something very interesting, this modern-day thing of the superheroes, this absolute, the world is captivated by superheroes today. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And the sales of the movies, the DVDs, find after we're finished here today that you're going to see that that's exactly what it is. It's the same old story repackaged again with new names and new characters, but the same old character of it all, the same old wicked spirit. Folks, the one thing you have to understand is there's two spirits in this world. There is the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. There's that spirit of Antichrist that is at work. And there's the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the Holy Ghost of God. There's the mystery of iniquity, and there's the mystery of godliness. And those two have warred ever since Satan fell, ever since Lucifer fell, ever since that anointed cherub that covereth fell. Those two spirits have been an absolute confrontation with one another. There can be no mixture of that darkness and light. There can be none of that. The satanic deception that is among us today is staggering. Before I even get into this article, which I'm going to get into here in a second, that really prompted me that I had been thinking about preaching on superheroes, against the superheroes, and really exposing what they are for a while now. It's been a few months, and I started a Hollywood series that we've talked about on this show before, and that Pastor Brandon and I broke down Hollywood and some of the satanic deception of Hollywood that is there. And when we looked at these things, I talked a little bit about superheroes and the fact that I need to do something on that. The Lord had been prompting me and leading me to do that. And then things kind of fell into place with the release of this Man of Steel movie, which, by the way, I believe wholeheartedly that Man of Steel is the man of sin. He is not a picture of the end. He is not a picture of Christ Jesus. He is a picture of the Antichrist. And I believe that. I believe it's a satanic deception. But anyway, let me say, before I get into that article, the one thing that I am absolutely shocked about, and when ever since I've been preaching on Hollywood, I have been shocked to see the response of many of God's people to that. Now, I realize that it's not comfortable. Listen, first of all, let me say this, because I've been accused of this. I'm a sinner just like any other man is. I have to battle the flesh just like any other man does. I have to fight the devil. I have to fight the wicked satanic deception of this world. I have to ask for forgiveness and repent daily. So I don't think that I'm a better Christian than somebody else. My job, my calling in life, is to be a watchman on the wall and to warn people, to warn them. Part of being a watcher is to alert them, alert people to what's going on, to have them break out of that satanic coma, coma that they're in, to break out of that. And Christ said that in Romans chapter 13, and Paul said that under the inspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ there in Romans chapter 13. He said that you awake out of sleep. It's high time that we awake out of sleep. And that's the reason for this. But let me tell you, I have never seen so much opposition to preaching against Hollywood and preaching against superheroes and satanic deception. I have never seen born-again believers have such a problem with the preaching of God's word against wickedness, against satanic deception, against the Illuminati aspects of Hollywood and the Illuminati, the mystery of iniquity aspects, the Sons of God themes that run through these shows, and the magic and the witchcraft that runs through them. I mean, you would think that you're punching somebody's best friend in the nose to see all the opposition that you get from this. I just marvel at it, how people have been so upset about it. And again, let me say, I don't think I'm a better Christian than anybody else because I quit watching Hollywood movies. I think I understand the truth of it. I think I've seen Halloween movies and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to come out and look like that. He's the angel of light. His work that he does is very deceiving and deceptive. Listen, he fooled perfect beings into following him. He fooled Eve into following him in his wicked plans that he had. So I just want to get that out in the beginning so you can understand that when you listen to this, that I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I don't think that's not the reason you preach. And by the way, that is a lame accusation to make against a preacher of God. Let me go on record to say that, and it doesn't matter to me if that makes you upset or not. The truth is that God called us to preach the Word of God. That doesn't mean that people that preach the Word of God think they're better than somebody else. They're being obedient to the call of God, to the commands of God, to preach His Word. And, you know, it's because of the lackluster pulpits today, it's because of the limp-wristed pastors that are out there today, because there are so many that are connected to Hollywood, so many that use entertainment and amusement to fill the church house today, that they can't handle that that straight as an arrow preaching against sin and wickedness, that we should abstain from all appearance of evil, that we should. But let me show you what that has done. Because we have been like that, because we have acted that way, because we have been accustomed to entertainment so much, this article from CNN's blog site, this article is very troubling to me. And when I was, when Brother Gerald Finney, Attorney Gerald Finney, GeraldFinney.wordpress.com, you can read, and I want to read you part of this article here because probably most of it, I'm just fascinated by it, that the fact that people don't think, first of all, is it a big deal? Oh, come on. I've had people tell me, look, preacher, not in our church, by the way. This is people on Facebook. Look, brother, you're making a big deal, but nobody worships Superman. Nobody, it doesn't have anything to do with worshiping him. It has the fact to do that I spend my money and my time promoting an Illuminati theme out there, giving money to these people directly so they can defy my God and directly so they can do things that are contrary to the work of God. I'm funding people like Johnny Depp when I give money to different movies like that. Well, I'm funding people like him. So you know what he could do? He could take that and he can run his satanic cultic type practices that he runs right from his own home, and he can laugh about it. And he can laugh and mock God. And I can't agree with that any longer. When I started to analyze that, why would I give my money to these people? Why would I act like evil is good and good is evil? Why would I do that? Wouldn't be wise to do that. Certainly not biblical to do that. But hey, listen, we all have things of the flesh that attract us, and the devil knows that. I have my sins that he attracts me with that I have to repent of, and you have yours. And I'm not claiming any sinless perfection or that I'm better than anybody else, because I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I understand that. But listen, I want to read you this article here. As the new Superman movie takes flight this weekend, filmmakers are hoping the Man of Steel lands not only in theaters, but also in pulpits. Warner Brothers Studios is aggressively marketing Man of Steel to Christian pastors, inviting them to early screenings, creating Father's Day discussion guides, and producing special film trailers that focus on the faith-friendly angles of the movie. The movie's free trips to the movie theater to watch Man of Steel so they could get their congregations of thousands of people that are out there to go to the movie Man of Steel and to watch that movie. Now, listen, folks, why would any pastor want sermon notes from some theologian that is working with Hollywood to produce a movie that is clearly Antichrist? Now, it may not be that clear to you, but by the time we're done with this show at studio, Does that make you feel comfortable that a pastor of the Word of God, a man that is supposed to be called of God, is being seduced, is being propositioned by Hollywood to produce or to get people to go to Man of Steel? That sounds pretty scary to me. It ought to scare you half to death. The movie studio said, how might the story of Superman awaken our passion? There's an actual push to say, we're putting out something that speaks to your group, said Scott, one of the pastors of Shiloh Christian Community Church in Baltimore. So in other words, they're saying that Superman is marketed to Christians. Man of Steel is marketed to Christians. Well, that seems a little scary to me. That seems like it's the devil's attack. It seems like it's the devil's attack here, isn't it? That's exactly what my group are born-again, God-fearing, sin-hating, born-again believers that love Jesus Christ and hold to that King James Bible, and they're not naive enough to fall for the tricks of Satan. Those tricks, anyway. Any one of us can fall for his tricks. But when it's so blatantly open there as Hollywood, that, hey, listen, let's get everybody in to the movie theater to watch this movie. Sad, really. Very sad. At first, Scott didn't believe it. He didn't buy the religious pitch. Then he decided to attend a free midweek screening in Baltimore. When I sat and listened to the movie, I actually saw it was the story of Christ, and the love of God was weaved into the story, said the pastor. It was something I was very excited about. That, with the consultation of our senior pastor, we could use in our congregation. So what he's saying is he's going to take this movie and he's going to use it. You know, I've seen all this garbage. I've seen Finding God in The Lord of the Rings, Finding God in this movie, and Finding God in that movie. Let me tell you something, friend. The Holy One is nowhere near this satanic garbage. God has nothing to do with Superman. In fact, the devil has something to do with Superman. And I'm going to expose that today in the next segment. Grace Hill sermon notes are especially brilliant. Well, I want to go on record to say very clearly that I shun pop culture. Pop culture is from the pits of hell. It is satanically designed. Pop culture has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want to be your rap star. Jesus doesn't want to be your superstar. He is Lord. He is God. He is Father of all. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has nothing to do with pop culture. He has nothing to do with rap music. He has nothing to do with scantily dressed women, only to call them to repentance and reprove them so they can be born again and their lives can change. And he's right about one thing. He says there's a lot of spirituality in this movie. I agree. But let's be honest, all spirituality is not good spirituality. The devil is a spiritual being. Lucifer, Satan, is a spiritual being. Amen? We understand that, don't we? He's a spiritual being. But he's not of that spirit. The Bible says to try the spirits. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take the Word of God, the King James Bible, and we're going to try the spirits and see whether they're of God. He said it will be hard for even casual Christians to miss the messianic metaphors in Man of Steel. On the contrary, I believe it will be hard for them, once it's reproved in the light of Scripture, to deny the satanic false Messiah that will come. Islam has that, their 12th prophet that will come. The whole world is looking for the Man of Steel. The whole world is looking for the Antichrist. They're not looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking for the Antichrist, that one that will come that will change the world. And they want it to be changed to make man mighty and not see man submit to God. That's not their goal. Their goal is evolution, not regeneration. This movie focuses on the origins of Superman, the article goes on to say, who was sent from the planet Krypton as an infant to save his species. He is raised by surrogate parents who help him grapple with his special powers, even though they don't fully understand the source of his extraordinary abilities. If that's not enough, as a boy, Clark Kent is shown wrestling with his superpowers and asks his earthly dad, Jonathan Kent, did God do this to me? Did God give me this power? Amen. Did God give this to me? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing, isn't it? But that's actually a question that is being asked in this movie. To try to tie in God with this. However, when one does just a quick look at Man of Steel and Superman and where he gets his powers at, which we'll talk about the next segment, but we're here for a reason, says Jonathan Kent. He sent you here for a reason. During a fight with his archenemy General Zod, Superman plunges down to Earth, his arms outstretched as if he were crucified. Of course, he rises again. He does the crucifixion pose. All these Supermans in every single movie or show, like Smallville or the other ones, they all do this, the crucifixion scene where they look like they're Jesus Christ. That's what they do. That's what that movie's about. That's what all of them are about. Anyway, where it gets sticky is when they try to manipulate the market, when Christians try to manipulate Hollywood. But here, I think we have the right balance. That's what a movie guide man said. He said, I think it's a very good thing that Hollywood is paying attention to a Christian marketplace. There shouldn't be a Christian marketplace, really, in Hollywood. If someone wants to make a documentary, a show, a movie, or something of history, they shouldn't have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness of Hollywood. They shouldn't fund one single thing through there. They shouldn't have anything to do with them. Go back and listen to all 7 of our sermons on Hollywood. Actually, it's 9 sermons on Hollywood. The Satanic Deception of Hollywood and its Satanic Roots of Hollywood. The first 2 sermons in that series you can find on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley or Old Paths Baptist Church. There, you can find it there, and you can listen to those sermons, and without a doubt, you can see that Hollywood is satanically driven. It's all about the devil. It's all about sexual fornication and wickedness. That's what it's about, really. Make no mistake about it. That's the goal of Hollywood. That's the goal of their of the money making plot that is there in Hollywood right now. It's to send a message of an antichrist message to the world, that of magic and witchcraft and everything else, my friend. That it's not Christian. Now, one pastor goes on to say that any pastor who thinks using Man of Steel ministry resources is a good Sunday morning strategy must have no concept of how high the stakes are, or very little confidence in the power of God's word and God's spirit. A deacon and Sunday school teacher at Dublin Baptist Church in Ohio said, well, amen for a man that stood up and said, you know what, I'm not going to use this garbage. You don't even understand. As they entertain their congregants with material pumped up out from Hollywood Bowl or feigned to preach the gospel with anything. You know, Rick Warren's doing it now. Rick Warren's got the rockers on stage, the heavy metal artists on stage. What's the difference if you're going to use a movie like this to promote Jesus Christ? People are using all kinds of satanic devices to promote Jesus Christ and mixing the two together, sneaking in a little sermon in there. They sneak a little gospel witness in there, so to speak. That's not the preach. Like, things can happen to your signal and things seem to go awry sometimes, but thank the Lord that we are still on and we're still coming in loud and clear to you. I apologize for that, though. Anyway, the devil wants us to use all of these things. He wants us to use these other designs. And listen, if you want to call in here, I'd like you to call us in if you have a question about this or you'd like to talk about it or anything like that. Our number is 646-915-9266. That is 646-915-9266. And it's exciting times that we live in. We are seeing foreshadowings of the Antichrist and foreshadowings of this satanic kingdom that is on the rise. And it's sad to see in some ways, but in other ways, if we see the Bible, we need to understand. That's why we need to separate. We need to make things clear to people. They need to understand. They need to understand exactly what they're facing. We need to be clear about it. And this thing of Superman is nothing more than a confusion that comes from the devil. A confusion that he has set forth to try to sway the people of God, to try to continue to keep people in a satanic deception, so they don't see the love of the truth that they might be saved. These are the times that we live in. Well, listen, we're gonna go to break here. We have a song coming up here I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die on the battlefield for the Lord, and we'll be back in just a few minutes here.
One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled my heart with love. Well, I used to have some walk and talk with me. Oh, but since I've been converted, they turn their backs on me. Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war.
All right, we are back on the Old Paths Broadcast Network, and I am glad to be here. It's Pastor Jason Cooley going it alone tonight with the Lord's help, and Brother Lonnie there taking care of things. Please pray for Pastor Brandon Teague as he's ill right now. He's got some bronchitis, and we just pray him back and just be thinking of him, please. And I'll tell you what, it takes a lot to to bring Pastor Brandon down so he's not doing something. So this is the Lord giving him some rest here and relaxation, and you just pray that all goes well with that. Well, listen, I want to give you the call-in number again if you'd like to call in. 646-915-9266. Again, that's 646-915-9266. All right, back into this thing of these superheroes, and we're talking about the Man of Steel here. And I'm going to try diligently here to finish this part of it and get into just superheroes in general, actually, in the next hour. But I want to read you some verses. The Bible says this: let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Boy, I'll tell you, folks, I hate to stop right there, but I will for a second tell you that if we're not in the falling away, boy, I hate to see the falling away, because it is just sad right now what's going on. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And this is a key verse here: for the mystery might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And another key verse I'd like to give you is 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, it's interesting, very fascinating here, as we look at this Man of Steel movie that came out. The name Man of Steel, this is this Superman character's nickname. Now, what is the definition of steel? Well, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says iron combined with a small portion of carbon, iron refined and hardened, used in making instruments, and particularly useful as the material of edge tools. So we understand it's iron, basically. It's iron mixed with a few things. Now, if you go to your Bibles, get in your King James Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 32. Because in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 32, I want to tell you about something that the Bible prophesies about. It says, the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Oh, the iron and the clay. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet, as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves, they, interesting, isn't it? They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That is the kingdom, the fourth kingdom that arises. The Bible talks about that number four, and that spiritual kingdom. That iron represents the spirit. It is the spirit. It is the iron mixed with the clay. It is that coming kingdom, that Antichrist kingdom that will come. It is that man of steel, that iron mixed with the clay. Interesting. Fascinating, isn't it? That Antichrist will be considered that man of steel. Let me say this to you, friend, that Superman is nothing more than the mocking of the biblical account of Jesus Christ. It is a mocking and a mixture of Antichrist and Jesus Christ. It is a mixture to confound the truth, to confuse people. It's there to confuse them. Superman is a mocking of that. We read about the Antichrist that will arise, and that he will, his kingdom, the Bible talks about that number four, and it says fallen angels, sons of God, daughters of men theme, that that is just all the way through these movies that are on. But anyway, let's look at this Superman. Let's look at some of this Man of Steel. As a comic book hero is nothing more than a mock of God. That word Krypton, by the way, that planet that he comes from, that word Krypton, it means the hidden one in Greek. It means the hidden one. The father's name is Jor-El, and that Jor-El sends his only begotten son, Kal-El, to Earth. There's a strong father-son theme in the movie between Superman and his human father, Jonathan Kent. Throughout the film, its repeated flashbacks recall this relationship. Back and forth, it shows that. Later, Superman is introduced to the holographic consciousness, the spirit of his biological father. Jor-El offers guidance and a sense of clarity to Superman, his Krypton name, Kal-El. It's even hinted that Jor-El is nothing but a ghost in the movie. Jor-El means God will lift up. Kal-El means the voice of God. So in other words, Superman is the voice of God. Now, where do you suppose that comes from? Where do you suppose they would have got that? Well, we're going to talk about that, but if you understand who invented Superman, which we'll get to if we'll have to make time for it, but if you understand where Superman comes from, then you'll understand it's from the Cabal. A lot of it's from the Cabal. A lot of it's from Kabbalah, conditioning you for a coming of the Antichrist, all conditioning you for the coming of the fallen angels, these sons of God, these daughters that mix with the daughters of men that happened again, or happened before, and will happen again. By the way, he poses like the cross in this movie. He poses like he's on a crucifix. You know how Kal-El means voice of God. Beth-El means house of God. So in other words, what he's doing is mocking Jesus Christ, the coming is the voice of God. So in other words, Superman is willing to die for our sins. In the film, that General Zod requests that the people of Earth deliver Superman in exchange for not destroying the planet. Superman, of course, just turns himself in. But, you know, he mightily escapes like in every other movie. He mightily escapes in every other comic book. He mightily escapes. Jesus Christ didn't escape. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for us all. What a horrible picture. Remember what they said unto Christ? Come off that tree. Come off that cross. If thou be the Son of God, come off that cross. He saved him. He saved others. Can he not save himself? It's a mocking of the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. No marvel that Satan himself comes as an angel of light, though. The Bible says Jesus Christ came from God, and that he is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. We understand that. We know that to be true. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In 2 Thessalonians again, by the way, it does say that in the movie it says Jor-El says to his wife, he will be a god to them. And he also goes on to say, and his mother says, oh, they'll kill him. He'll be different than them. Satan is the god of this world, and he will be good. I don't want you to be satanically deceived by Superman. I want you to feast on God's word and learn something and warn people that this nonsensical desire for entertainment is not doing the people of God. You know how many times over and over again the Bible says to be sober-minded, to be sober-minded, to be sober-minded, over and over again. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Superman does not derive his power from God, but from other satanic sources. He is the Antichrist, the mocker of that true Christ. He's the phony one. Consider in the original that his earthly father's name, you can Google this, by the way, but his original earthly father's name was Joseph. And his father dies in the comic book before he is fully grown. Then consider that originally Martha, her first name was actually named, time you will help them accomplish wonders. What is that saying there? You'll help them evolve. You'll help them attain that godlike status that they should have. They'll get better because of you. They won't need to be regenerated or be born again, because that's not how Satan works. You see, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. I like this comparison that one made. There are just a few more items of interest, which may possibly be connections between Kal-El and the Red Dragon, Satan. Since Superman derives his powers from the sun, that would make him a kind of sun god. Satan has sometimes been compared to the sun gods of ancient mythology, such as the Egyptian god Ra, the Greek-Roman Apollo, and the Persian Mithra. The infinite serpent burned into Clark's chest in one of the Smallville episodes. You can see that, where that's burned in. And by the way, that original shield on his chest was a serpent. You go back and Google it, and you will see the original Superman in the comic. You will see a serpent on his chest. So that's wonderful. We're going to run around with a red dragon, a red serpent on your chest. Boy, that's Christ-like. You could see Jesus Christ doing that. No, but you will see the Antichrist, because power will be given unto him, and Satan will give power unto the beast, and the beast and the false prophet, they will have power that is given to them, and they'll identify with that red dragon, that old wicked serpent. He exalts his throne above the stars of God. He flies straight up there. These visuals are not by accident, folks. They're not. You might think, well, listen, Pastor Cooley, I'm sure that the creators of Superman had nothing of this in mind, that they wouldn't have done anything like this. Let me give you a little bit of history, and we'll see if that's true. In 1934, the first superhero with magical powers was Superman. Actually, there was a Phantom, but he just had above average human strength. But it was during the rising of persecution of the Jews in 1934 that two Jews themselves, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, created Superman, a man they called their Super Jew, a moral integrity. He used his gifts only for the good of humanity. There are few other superheroes as loved and admired as Superman, who has inspired millions of fans. Although Superman's fantastic powers themselves changed, according to Bob Hughes of Amazing Heroes, episode 96, it becomes clear that there are approximately one substantial different version of the Man of Steel for each decade. See, they change it. Incidentally, it's very interesting that there's also men that arise up in this world, like Hitler, others, Mussolini, others that thought that they, Napoleon, that thought that they were Antichrist, and they reinvent themselves and they try to take that role. Anyway, he goes on to talk about this writer, the original writer of Superman, Jerry's loss of his dad during a robbery, both boys being poor and puny, and their conviction that within them, as well as their hero, lay a man of steel. If only we looked hard enough, the author said. In a book that a man wrote by the name of Ty, he makes analogies between Superman and the biblical tale of Samson. He makes analogies, and he says that the biblical tale of Samson, who came forward to rescue the Israelites from enslavement, was inspired no less by the Mishnah or the Gemorah. The three legs of the Superman myth. Listen to this now. Truth, justice, and the American way are straight out of the Mishnah. The world, the Mishnah reads, endures one on three things: truth, justice, and peace. Listen to this now. You want to hear about the Kabbalah here? You want to hear about how there's a satanic design to this? The explosion of Krypton conjures up images from the mystical Kabbalah, where the divine vessel was shattered and the Jews were called on to perform Tikkun Olam by repairing the vessel and the world. Golem is the magic creation of life from the Kabbalah. This golem is an attribution of a human form or other characteristics to anything other than a human being. Examples include depicting deities with human form and ascribing human emotions to them. This is all Kabbalah, folks. That's what this is. In Jewish folklore, a golem is an animated, anthropomorphic being created entirely from inanimate matter. The word was used to mean amorphous, In 2006, the writer of Superman had this to say. Listen to this. And this was a story about Christ. It's all about sacrifice. The world, I hear their cries. So what happened? He gets the knife in the side in the 2006 movie Superman, and he later falls to the earth in the shape of a crucifix. It was kind of nailing you on the head, the author says, the writer of Superman says. But I enjoyed that because I have always found the myth of Christ compelling and moving, says Brian Singer. The myth of Christ, he says. Do you really want to support an industry that actually says that Christ is a myth? A man that puts together a movie blatantly believes that Christ is a myth? The philosopher Nietzsche talked about a Superman or an Uberman and said that every man could obtain that. You know, the Kabbalah talks about that. It talks about the fact that there is a man that defies evolution, that comes, and he doesn't need evolution. But out of thin matter, out of thin air, he forms into this Superman and cuts his chains off and lets him go. And he comes down off that cross and doesn't stay on it. You know, it's amazing. But this Man of Steel is all a picture of that Antichrist that will come. Do you really think that lost, vile sodomites, hate-filled sodomites, want churches to promote this movie because they love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would lost Jews that are Kabbalah Jews wish and sought it a big deal? But how about this? Jesus was 30 when he started his messianic mission on earth, having previously lived a low-key life. Superman was the same. Clark Kent was 30 years old. Are they trying to mock him? The Sons of God theme runs all through the Superman episodes, or through the Superman shows, that there would be these Sons of God that would come. These aliens are going to come. You're not alone. By the way, did you know, we're going to talk about this the next hour, but every major nationality, every country, every culture has a story of the Sons of God and the Daughters of Men. That these would come and then there would be titans and there would be others of old. The iron mixed with the clay, that coming Antichrist kingdom. The theme of the Man of Steel is that you're not alone. There's angels with there's aliens with magical powers that are going to come and they're going to fix the world. He will throw Satan in a prison for 1,000 years and he will rule and reign on this earth. Who is able to make war with the beast? Who is able to take on this Superman? You know, the Antichrist will be that Superman. He will be that one that comes. The illusion of Eve. Eve's wish will come true, that they will evolve into something spectacular. That Superman will come and help you evolve. You say, Pat, preacher, I just don't see it that way. I don't see it that clearly, really. Well, let me ask you, what about Superman glorifies God? What about a man running around in underwear, flying around in underwear, glorifies God? What about a man that gives no allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, but shows powers and signs and lying wonders? What about that glorifies God? What about the Sons of God and the Daughters of Men theme? How about that? Does that glorify God? No, God destroyed the earth in Noah's time for that. What about that? What about the fact that he has eyes, a flame of fire? How about that? He shoots those rays out of his eyes. He shoots those. Do you think that they're mocking Christ with that? They're not giving any allegiance to Jehovah God. They're not giving any allegiance to God the Father. They're not giving any allegiance to Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a theme here. It's a satanic one. But listen, we're about to take a break here, and we're going to play a song here for you as we go to break here. The song is Stormy Dark Waters by the Marksman Quartet. That's Stormy Dark Waters by the Marksman Quartet, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on the Old Paths Broadcast.
Storms have been gathering way over my head. The worst is around me, the stillness has fled. Stormy dark waters roll over my heart. The winds and the storm clouds contribute their part. Stormy dark waters, around me they roll. Winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. The stormy dark water will soon come to pass. The stormy dark water bring us all to our knees. Stormy dark waters, round me they roll. The winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. Don't let the thunder trouble your soul. The journey's soon over. We'll say party last. Stormy dark water will all come to pass. Stormy dark water. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters.
All right, we are back on the Old Paths Broadcast. You want to defend superheroes? Maybe you want to just add to the discussion there. By all means, give us a call at 646-915-9266. We're going to talk about superheroes this hour in general. And, you know, the reason why I want to do this is because I watched a documentary a few days ago, actually about a week ago. I've seen it twice already, and I don't agree with all their theology in this hour. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, the superheroes have captivated much of the entertainment industry today. I quoted before and said, you know, you're looking at a multi-billion-dollar industry created. But, you know, some people don't understand where did they come from? Where did all this idea of superheroes really come from? I'll give you a brief history of where they come from. Before the 1930s, kids would mostly play outside. Not every house had a TV, and children, they didn't have superhero comic books. They worked, they did things, they rode their bike, they fished, they hunted, they did all the things. They played outside for hours until dark, and they were called home, and that's just what kids did. But the dawn of the Second World War brought about so much fear and anxiety that comic book superheroes were brought out. They were a means of comfort, and they were a means of escape for people. Superman was the most popular comic, and when he came out, he didn't fight aliens. and others with magic powers. He fought the people that were feared the most of that time, the gangsters, the fascists, Hitler, the politicians. After Pearl Harbor took place, superheroes became the literal token fighters. They were the mascots of the war movement. They went out and fought the wars, too, and helped save the countries, save the world from disaster. Comic books became a million-dollar industry, and they were a must for U.S. soldiers that were overseas. Batman soared in popularity. Moving forward, in the 80s, Batman soared in popularity when the war on drugs was raging. Yeah, when 9/11 took place and the war on terror was started, comic books, movies, superheroes rose. I mean, there was a sharp billion-dollar rise in that industry. Why? Because there was an invisible enemy, and fear and anxiety was stoked. And they looked for a replacement God. They looked for something to ease them and comfort them. So movies and everything else was that comfort. Meanwhile, while they're frisking grandma at the airport, movies came out and other things came out, and superheroes came out that would save us from these awful terrorists that are around the world that are plotting to destroy you. These terrorists that are supposedly in caves with cell phones, or they get cell phone reception, and these terrorists that are going to take over the world from their cave somewhere in Afghanistan. However, the devil used that, much like everything else. But every culture has had, and nationality has had, superheroes. The story of Gilgamesh is the oldest superhero story ever, and that's the Sumerian Gilgamesh story, the mighty one in the earth, the Gabor, the giant. I happen to believe he's none other than Nimrod, or Osiris, and Horus, and Gilgamesh are all the same repackaged story. Yes, the old Titans, the giants, the sons of God and the daughters of men theme runs through all the comic books. You just do a simple Google search and you'll see that those are the themes that are there. But what are they teaching? If Gilgamesh is the oldest play, that of Horus and Osiris and those, that's the oldest recorded play in history that they have found. Isn't that amazing? The first movie that was ever done, I call it a movie, a play, or whatever you want to call it, that was done, that was recorded for us, I mean, that we have today, is none other than the old Mystery of Iniquity, that old all-seeing eye, that old Illuminati story. And isn't it fascinating that Hollywood is based off of that? You see that all-seeing eye all the way through Hollywood. Again, if you want to call in, 64... It's right there. Oh, come on, that doesn't mean anything. Of course it means something. Images mean something. If somebody tells you that images don't mean anything, I wouldn't listen to them. They're lying to you, because images mean something. They always mean something. That mystery religion is still intact today. The Greeks had some characters. They had Zeus, they had Poseidon, they had Hercules, they had Hades. The Greeks fought the Titans. The same theme runs through every culture, that a savior will come. That's from there. Apollyon and the hybrids that he has will be released from there. Isn't that fascinating when we start to break those things down? There are those angels that left their first estate. The hero of these stories of the immortals is a half-god, half-man named Theseus, who will save the world from the wrath of the gods. Another movie is The Clash of the Titans. It talks about that. Was about the sons of God, the sons of the Titans, the gods ending the reign of the Titans. Zeus became the god of heaven. We find his altars were found near Pergamos. The Bible talks about Satan's seat is in Pergamon, and the Bible says that Antipas, my faithful martyr, there is a history that says, now again, this is history, that a man named Antipas was slain in Pergamum for not worshiping the image of Satan. The image of Zeus, which Zeus is Satan. Do you see how these comic book themes have tried to replace Christ? They have put in false gods. They have put in mythological gods. By the way, another interesting mythological theme is always there. That sons of God, that daughters of men theme is in all of these movies. You can see it very clearly. J.R. Tolkien did the same thing with Gandalf the Wizard in The Lord of the Rings, who dies and ends up helping Frodo, but then resurrects into a white wizard. with white magic, not black magic, but white magic. Tolkien mixed Christianity with paganism, some of them in what they have done. Look at the character of Batman. He's a master detective. He has billions of dollars. He's an escape artist. He seems to be a good guy. However, when we see him, he looks like a middle-aged demon. A demon from the Middle Ages. If you look at pictures from the Middle Ages, you'll see a demon-like structure, a demon-like picture there when you look at some of these pictures that are drawn of that time frame. He's called the Dark Knight. Tell me, do you believe that he represents something good, something biblical, something right? When you see Batman, he's a man that uses humanistic instincts. It's interesting enough that when you go to in the old Batman movies, we see the Egyptianology in some of the old shows, that old corny Batman show that was on for years on a few years on television back in the 80s or 70s, actually maybe the late 60s, early 70s. They had the Egyptianology in there. They had the pictures in there of the all-seeing eye and other things that were part of that show. The occultism in Hollywood is just staggering. The occultism in these movies, just staggering. For instance, the X-Men and the Phoenix. Do a Google search on the Phoenix and occultism, and you'll see it's nothing more than a bunch of satanic garbage. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Phoenix is Antichrist. The Phoenix is devilish. It's wicked. It's a cultic practice. The actual talk of the Phoenix is nothing more. I don't have to go into that. You can see that yourself. But the powers that some of these have, Batman. One of the storylines in Batman is Son of the Demon. How's that? Isn't that great? Would you want your children to be watching that? Would you want your children? Do you want your children to be watching that? That Batman, that Son of a Demon series that was on there. You know, a little bit later on in the program, what we're going to do is we're going to actually cover some of these writers, some of the things that they say, their cultic practices, the out-and-out witchcraft that they practice. You know, it's unbelievable. But that Dark Knight, again, I've already told you about Superman. I already told you about the serpent that's on his chest. I actually had some preacher to defend that, by the way. This is a Baptist preacher that tried to defend this on Facebook. He tried to tell me that, that serpent. Yeah, it was a serpent, but it meant something good, not something bad. Okay. Well, then why didn't he run around with a cross on his chest then? Now I don't agree with a lot of symbols anyway like that, but if he wasn't trying to identify with Satan, that old red serpent, that old wicked serpent, that old red dragon, then why did he run around with that symbolism? What does the serpent tell people? Do you think good, sweet, biblical, lovely thoughts when you see a serpent? Of course not. You think of a devil. That's what you think of. I hate snakes anyway, but that's just what you think of when you see that. You know, Batman, the whole storyline was created by an act of murder. He watches his parents die, and then he turns into some superhero. By the way, if you'll do a Google search on The Dark Knight, the movie series, you will see the occultism, you will see the hidden message, you will see hidden messages in there. You'll actually see some very interesting things that will shock you when you see them about that movie. About that movie series. I mean, you have Heath Ledger that right after he did the movie, he died, killed himself, I believe, on a drug overdose, died and went to a sinner's hell. We'll talk about that in a little while here as well. But how about another superhero? How about Wonder Woman? Now, it goes without saying that Wonder Woman is completely wicked from the standpoint of she's a feminist, and I'll read something from that will allude to that. But the other thing about Wonder Woman is that she's naked, what the Bible calls naked. She runs around in a bikini. and she runs around an invisible airplane. She runs around and she has a lasso of truth and a few other things. And she runs around naked. When I was a kid, I remember seeing Wonder Woman, that show on, I think it was Linda Carter that played Wonder Woman, and I remember seeing that, and I was just absolutely enthralled by that magical stuff in movies. I loved it. I was just captivated by it. And of course, any young man would like seeing a lady look like that. I mean, that's just true. That's any man that's a normal man. God set forth. So in their wisdom, the goddesses did create a race of female warriors dedicated to the ideals of uniting all people, all sexes, all races, all creeds. No longer will man rule alone, for now women stands as an equal to temper his aggression with compassion, lend reason to his rages, and overcome hatred with love. We are the Amazons, and we have come to save mankind. That's the mantra. That's the creed of Wonder Woman. Does that sound biblical? First of all, I don't have time to get into the headship of the husband issue, but let me just say this in all clarity and sincerity, that the husband is the head of the wife, and this is not an accurate portrayal. This is feminism, and I'll prove that by this right here. The inventor of Wonder Woman, William Moulton Marston, a psychologist already famous for inventing the polygraph, the forerunner to the magic lasso, struck upon an idea for a new kind of superhero, one who would triumph, not with fists of firepower, but with love. Fine, said Elizabeth, but make her a woman. By the way, this guy was a polygamist and a feminist, and you see it in his writings. A polygamist and a feminist. But, you know, Diana shows up somewhere else, actually. Wonder Woman shows up somewhere else. On Wonder Woman's island, she was called Diana, the goddess Diana. Listen to this, though. In Acts chapter 19, in verse number 27, we find her. So that not only this our craft, is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed from all Asia, and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians! There's your Wonder Woman, by the way. She's modeled after Diana, the goddess Diana. In Wonder Woman, in the story, that's her name on the Amazon world she is from, the Amazon island she's from. The comic book states she is the goddess. Again, by the way, I don't recommend looking at a picture of her because she would be nude, according to what the Bible calls nudity. You know, Flash is another superhero who is the same as the Greek god Hermes. Another of the superhero series was called New Gods. New Gods. They are not shy about telling you what they're doing. Listen, folks, would you understand that they put all this occultism in comic books, they put it in movies, and they're not shy about it. They're not going in the closet. They're coming out of the closet, opening the door for you as a Christian to go into the closet and not stand up and separate from unrighteousness and wickedness. They're okay with you. They like you liking their... They like you spending money on their false gods. They like the fact that they can put cultism in this. They can add occultism, and Christians are eating it up like candy. If people would listen, then they would learn something. If they would listen about these gods, then they would learn something. But the problem is, they don't want to. They like their entertainment, and they don't want anybody to question it. They don't want anybody to show. They don't want to listen to these sermons, although, by the way, they do get a lot of hits. But they don't want to listen. A group of these people on Facebook, they don't want to listen to this. Why? Because you know what? When you find the truth from the Word of God, when something is revealed by the Bible, then guess what? It leaves you without excuse. So you are inexcusable, and then you have to stand up for what's right then, or you have to openly admit that you're rebellious to God, that you don't want to obey His word and follow Him, that you like your sin, you like your entertainment, you like it, and that's all that matters. Well, since when for the godly Christian that is born again believer, since when the one that is sold out to Christ, that is surrendered to God, since when does it matter what you and I like? Our passions don't matter when it comes to the Word of God in that sense. What matters is the truth. What matters, brethren, is it right in the sight of God's eyes? You know, we're going to take a break in a few minutes here, but let me just say this, that you have to understand something as a man, as a husband, a mother, whatever you may be, but just in speaking to men in general here, let me just say this to you. It doesn't matter as far as what you like. If your children think that you do things because of what you like or you don't like, and that's what drives you, they are going to grow up and they are going to do what they like, or what they don't like, they won't do. That's not a biblical way to lead. We try everything by the Word of God, by that King James Bible. We try everything by it, and then what we do is we say, well, son, daughter, we have to abstain from this. Why? Because you don't like it, Dad? No, not because I don't like it, because it's not right in the sight of God's eyes, because it disobeys the Word of God. Because it is contrary to things biblical. It is not coherent with the Spirit of God. It is not biblical to do this. So son, daughter, we can't do this. Wife, I love you, but we can't do this. We can't watch this. We can't go to this place. We can't do these things. Why? Because they dishonor God and we live our life by this book. You and I have to decide we're going to live our life by this book, not by what we like or dislike. My flesh likes all kinds of wickedness. My flesh likes superheroes. My flesh likes bad music. My flesh likes wicked things. My flesh wants to set wicked things before its eyes. But I am a born again man, and I cannot walk in the flesh. I have to walk in the Spirit. That we mortify the deeds of the flesh. Amen. That we don't give in to the flesh. That we don't live our lives like that. It's a very dangerous thing for you and I to live in the flesh as born-again believers, because we have no excuse when God reveals the truth to us, when God sends a man to take that King James Bible and to show you the truth. He then follows it up with, quit you like men, be strong, stand up for what's right, lead your homes. Love your wives, love your children, lead them, love them, guide them, but not according to your whims, but according to the King James Bible, according to the Word of God, according to what's right in the sight of God's eyes, not by what we like or dislike. I've heard people say those things to me before. Well, I like that. Well, I understand that. I like cake and ice cream, but I can't eat it every day. I like big, I want you to listen to that, would you? Love Letters in the Sand. We'll be right back.
A scarlet woman caught in her sin, brought to Jesus by self-righteous men. We caught this woman in the very act. We all saw her, that is a fact. We're not dumb, we already know what Moses wrote down a long time ago. But we came to see what you would do with this woman of scarlet hue. He wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters. Wrote love letters in the sand. He never answered this religious band, just stooped down slowly and rolled in the sand. Then in a firm, compassionate tone, set with him without sin, cast the first stone. and kneeling. They stood around the stone in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. He wrote love letters in the sand.
All right, we are back on the Old Paths broadcast, and I'm Pastor Cooley here with you, and we're continuing on with these superheroes. Are they the replacement gods? Are they the fallen sons of God, daughters of men theme? What's the goal of these superheroes? Well, let's continue on and see if the occult is the goal. And just exactly what it is here. Let's look at another one that's very popular. Many Christian men, probably, or them that say they're Christian men anyway, that it very well could be, do they watch Catwoman? Did you know that Catwoman is the goddess Bastet? The goddess Bastet was usually represented as a woman with the head of a domestic cat. However, up until 1000 BC, she was portrayed as a lioness. Bastet was the daughter of Ra, the sun god. It may have been through him that she acquired her feline characteristics. When Ra destroyed his enemy, Apep, he was usually Isis. You might remember that. By the way, that's the god Catwoman. And if you will look in this replacement gods, you know, they did an awesome job of covering this, but they show how in that modern movie, the last couple Catwomans that they did, they trace that down and they show that god Bastet, and they show the link between the Catwoman and Bastet, that it's the same one. They don't argue with that at all. I hope you understand that. They're not hiding the fact that that's an occultist Egyptian god. You understand that? They're not hiding it. They're open about it, and they like it. How about Aquaman? Aquaman is the god Poseidon. He is the same as the god Poseidon, the god of the water. You know, those Dark Knight movies are full of tarot cards. Heath Ledger, the man that played the Joker, he died during the filming of his next movie, which had the scene of the Hangman tarot card. If you notice at the end of the Dark Knight movie, when Heath Ledger is hanging backwards, he's got an upside down cross he's making, mocking Jesus Christ, by the way. And when he's doing that, he's hanging upside down in that movie, and the tarot card of the Joker, the Hangman, is there. It's weird, in the last film that Heath Ledger made, that card appeared in that movie. Very strange occultic practices there. He died watching, he died during that next movie. Anyway, Grant Morrison is a very popular writer of Batman, Superman, and many other comics and movies, comic book material. And it's fascinating to me just exactly what he did. Unbelievable what Grant Morrison has done. He admits to putting tarot meanings in the movies, and the Joker is the fool. And the Joker is the fool tarot card traded peace for vanity and war. Doesn't that sound like Satan, who is the anointed cherub that covereth, that traded peace for vanity and war? Do you hear the hiss of the serpent behind these superhero movies? Alan Moore is a superhero writer who has written for many movies: The Watchmen, V for Vendetta, From Hell, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Mindscape of Alan Moore. There's so many others he wrote. But he worships a dragon statue called Glycon. He said this in testimony. I want you to listen to this. This man was satanically possessed. Is satanically possessed, by the way. Listen to what he said. I decided I was going to become a magician. At the age of 40, all of a sudden the lightning bolt hit. It all got a bit strange. For months after that, I was looking back probably in some borderline schizophrenic state. I found myself seemingly in conversations with that entity, its presence that surrounded my head, moving and speaking lucidly to me. I was very spaced out, God-struck. You babble for a while like an idiot. I must have been unbearable for 2 or 3 months. I've integrated that into the rest of my life. He's openly admitting that he is demon-possessed. He's a magician. Grant Morrison is another head writer. He's into chaos magic. It is said of him that no one on earth you can learn more about magic than from Grant Morrison. Aleister Crowley was his favorite. When he was, you know who Aleister Crowley is? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. The Satanist that worked for the CIA and the federal government. Oops. For his 19th birthday, he was given an Aleister Crowley book. He immediately started casting spells. One fellow writer testified that as he walked past Grant Morrison's room, that he opened the door and asked him if he wanted to go for a drink. And he said no. He was having breakthroughs. He was lying on the floor with a blanket over his head. And then the day that a powerful sermon seemed to download into my mind, I understood that this power I was facing was some kind of Gnostic Christ. Do you see the blasphemy in this? A Christ of the Apocrypha, an almost pagan figure that I'd found at the bottom of the last gasp. He tells this story that he broke out in boils, and as soon as he cast his first spell, he saw a light, and he saw golden images of things, and he got really scared, and he said he was crying out for his parents and for his parents, and he was crying out for anybody that could help him. Anyone that could help him. He said he even cried out to Jesus for help. But what he got, he didn't mean that in sincerity, by the way. But what he got was a Gnostic Jesus, he said. He said that this Gnostic Jesus explained to him and gave him things from the dark world. And he had this power, he had this ability to write things. You know, it's fascinating. Hey, if you want to call in the show, I'll give you the call in number. All right, little technical difficulty there, but if you want to call in, the number is 646-915-9266. Give us a call if you'd like. You can talk about some of these things if you have some questions about them. Understand these things are full of occultic behavior. There are occultic signs and symbols. They run all through that. But this Grant Morrison, he saw images. He saw things, and he got power from those things, and he was fine with that. He wanted that. And, you know, we hear about that a lot in rock and roll. We hear about that with rock artists that they're called ghost writers. They just put their pencil down, and it seems like the devil gives them something, or the spirits. We heard that among Hollywood actors that would walk around and say, "Spirits, spirits, I need something." And they would give them something. It would give them a script or give them a line or help them to tap into a character. We heard about Leonardo DiCaprio that would have many demons in him, that Johnny Depp, the same thing, that would have many demons in them. You know, there's a common formula with all these people, and that is that they are into occultic practices. We even talked about Lucille Ball and others like that were demon-possessed. Talked about Aleister Crowley and others. You know, it's amazing. That all of these things are connected with that. So when you have somebody that comes out with some superheroes, and they portray these superheroes, and they openly admit that they're occultic, they openly admit that they are Satanists, they openly admit that they are magicians, and they have no problem with it, they're bragging about it, should a Christian have something to do with these? Should he have anything to do with these type of superheroes? Are we falling for the sons of God and the daughters of men trick? Are we falling for the same old spiritism that Satan pushes? That angel, that one that comes as an angel of light? Are we falling for that same trick again? Are we succumbing to it? I think many Christians are today. All right. We've got Pastor Brandon Teague is going to call in here. He's with us here. Are you there, Pastor Brandon Teague?
Yeah, brother. I'm here. Good to hear you.
Amen, brother. Good for you to be on here. How you feeling?
Well, I'm still a little under the weather, but I've been listening to the show. I couldn't help but call in. I just want to throw my two cents in the well. But I had something I wanted to add, because the very same problem that we all have as to why people, Christians especially, give in to the superhero garbage. And, you know, when I was a child and when you were a child, I know it probably happened the same way with you. You know, our parents weren't as vigilant about these things because the danger was not as apparent.
Right.
As time has gone on, wickedness has revealed itself more and more, and Satan's got more and more bold. And now, you know, we're frightened by what we see our children exposed to, whereas back then it was tame. It was very character-like. It wasn't put off as dangerous. And, you know, it was Saturday morning cartoon, and there wasn't all this evil portrayed in it. It was good, bad guys and good guys. And because we were fed that as children, and it's part of our upbringing, it's part of our history, it's part of the memories of our childhood, we have an affection for these things. And, you know, that goes back to where the Bible says, what does the verse say?
Set your affections on things above.
Yeah, not on things of the earth. And that's what we've done, though. You know, how many television shows have been made about, you know, things from the 70s, things from the 80s. And if people enjoy that because they get to look back on their childhood, and people don't want to admit, it's pride, brother. People don't want to admit that what they did as a child might have been wrong. They've been more good than anything in the world. I could be wrong. Not about the word of God, but about his own ways. And you know, it just comes down to pride, brother. We've been duped into believing that we did it as a child, so it's okay now, and we can continue to go with it as an adult.
I think you're right, brother. I think the things that sit in our that stew year after year after year in us, and things that you know, we have this fondness. I remember, I didn't know any of it was occultic. I didn't know
right.
any of it had occult overtones to it. I didn't know I was feeding. I didn't know watching Transformers and other things with magic powers and all that kind of stuff. I had no idea that stuff was, satanic, or that it was occultic, and what the message that they were giving was that. So I think you're right, brother. I think that is a valuable insight that, you know, and I have stated, and you've heard this, and you've watched it. Excuse me, you've watched this online. You know, I don't come at anybody with like I'm spiritually superior to somebody.
Right. Amen.
You know,
I mean, and
we don't do
yeah,
that.
We're all sinners. We're all sinners, brother. You know, and some other brothers have been on there who've stood with you and proclaimed that. Brother Tino, for one, Brother Tino Gropi, and I appreciate Brother Tino.
Amen.
You know, he's very honest about it. And there was another brother on there who, you know, he openly admitted, I love horror movies and serial killer movies. My flesh loves it, but I know that I don't need to be a part of that.
Absolutely,
and,
brother.
You know, my flesh loves all kinds of wicked things that I don't want to talk about. But, you know, I'm like Paul, I have to keep my body under. You know, I have to buffet my
right.
body. And, you know, another thing with that childhood business, you know, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we as grown men, as men of God especially, have got to draw the line and say, you know, I can't go to the new Star Wars or Star Trek movie. I can't let my children see me bow down and lick Satan's boots like that. It's such a sad commentary. And, you know, if this generation sees men of God exposing their congregations. I mean, if the Lord doesn't return this generation, I shudder to think of what the next one's going to look like.
Well, I mean, you know, we wonder if we keep mixing the message like it's been mixed here, what do we have to pass on to our children? What do we have to pass on to them for the next generation?
That's exactly right. That's why I chose the theme song I did. You know, the third song that never gets played on the broadcast it asks the question, what are we going to do in our lifetime to teach our children the way? A pile of stone testimony is still important today. We just need to stack up truth before our children's eyes. We need to live just what we preach till the day that we die. That's what the third verse of that song says, and it's so true. And you know, and I'm gonna get off here. And I'm gonna let you finish this show out. But I just want to call in and you know, I'm getting better, and I'll be back next week. But I'm just thankful you took the reins tonight and took it in a fantastic direction. And praise God, and I'm praying for you.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much. We're praying for you, and you have a good night, brother. Get some rest that you need.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing when we look at this whole situation. Excuse me, I've got the hiccups that just attacked me. Not to move backwards, but to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You and I have to press forward. You and I have to see that we have made mistakes in these areas, that we can get right with God. We can have an Acts 19:19 service of our own right in our home, and we can put away from among us those wicked things, and we can turn from them, and then we can turn to expose the wickedness of this world, and we can turn from that, and we can go the other direction. We don't have to continue on the same way that we've been going. We can repent of it, and God will forgive us. God will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, and He wanted to inform you, and I'll let the Word of God speak to you, and to instruct you and to teach you. And I hope you listen. I hope this has been a benefit spiritually, that you can grow from it, and that it'll help you in the time to come. And, you know, give it to somebody else, too. Send the link to somebody else when the archive goes up. Send a link off to somebody, and somebody that might be struggling with this same thing, that maybe, or you could teach them that. You got kids today that are just fascinated with superheroes. How about you get fascinated with the Word of God? How about you go to Hebrews chapter 11, the hero chapter of the Bible, and you see that these people love God. These people followed Him. And I read, after I preached this message here, I read Hebrews chapter 11, excuse me, to our church, and I said, Who should we be following after, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, or should we have our heroes in the world? Our heroes ought to be in the Word of God. Well, listen, it's been a good show. I hope that you have learned something. I hope that you take it with you. I appreciate Pastor Brandon calling in, and you continue to pray for him. You can see us on Facebook as well. If you look at Facebook, you can check me out there, Jason Cooley, on Facebook. You can find me at oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. You can catch some sermons there. There's a link there to our sermon audio page, so you can click on there. You can go to sermon audio. We have probably 90 sermons on there that you can listen to. A bunch of different sermons covering all sorts of different topics. Hollywood, there's a series on Hollywood. There's a series on the sons of God, the daughters of men. There's a series on Satanism, or Lucifer, on Satan himself. There's a series on the there's a few series on the family, on the home, on feminism. All sorts of things for you that you can study, that you can learn from, that you can grow from. We even have some scientific studies. We have some on Brother Russ from our church, on geocentricity, that you can study if you'd like to study that worthy topic, geocentricity. Fascinating information there on that. The headship of the Father issues, those are there. You can find on our sermon audio page, and just link up there. Or you can, if you'd like to visit on church state law issues, you can go to church state law. You can go to Gerald Finney.wordpress.com. www.thewordofgod.com. You can go there and you can look at some of those things too as well. If you want to come out of the 501c3, if you want to organize a church biblically and out of the 501c3, check out geraldfinney.wordpress.com. And as always, you can go to The Old Time Way, and Pastor Brendan Teague has a bunch of shows there that he did there. I'm Pastor Cooley, and we'll see you again next week on the Old Paths broadcast.
Stacked in stone.